Well, we're in week three of our series, The Person God Uses. And before I go into too much of this, I just want to kind of throw this out there first. This sermon probably won't mean much for you if you don't want to be used by God. Now, that could mean a number of things. You might be teaching. You might be in leadership. You might be trying to share the gospel with your spouse or your kid or your neighbor. It could mean a number of things. So if you are wanting to live for God, okay, that's not going to go well. If you are kind of scared me, that's why I acknowledged it. Sorry about that. If you are wanting to be a person God uses, then I think this could be encouraging today. We ask the question every week, how to be a person God uses. We're in week three of four, and week one we looked at this idea in Jeremiah chapter 1 that he had to decide first. If you don't make the decision, then it probably won't happen. So week 1 was decide. Last week, we looked at this idea that your heart has to be broken. We look around and we see a need, and it may be something because of what we've gone through or just something that we've acknowledged that, man, that really breaks my heart. God, how can you use me in this situation? And then so today we're looking at this idea of rising above discouragement. Jeremiah chapter 20, if you're going to follow along with us today. So Jeremiah had decided and his heart broke, but there's this thing that kind of makes it hard to follow through on our commitments. It's our emotions or our feelings. We make a commitment and we think, this is going to be easy. And maybe it's something like with budgeting. We might say, well, I'm going to follow Dave Ramsey's financial, you know, I took financial peace, and I'm going to use the envelopes. And so for food, this is what we're going to spend this month, and this is my commitment so that we can live and steward our money well. And then at the end of the month, maybe there's $20 left in your envelope, and you're hungry, and you don't want to cook because you're tired. And you're exhausted, and you're stressed out. And so you think, well, we could order. I made this commitment that I'm going to stay within this, but I don't feel like it. It's our feelings really get us on these commitments. You might say, I'm going to exercise every day, but then you go to work, and you come home, and you're tired, and there's housework, and there's kids, and there's just things to do, and I don't feel like it. Our feelings really do make it hard to follow through on our commitments. In our faith, in our journey, as we're going to see with Jeremiah, he made a commitment. He decided what he was going to do, but then he didn't really feel like it. That's the Christian life. Jeremiah had decided, his heart broke, but discouragement set in. So right before the story we're going to look at in Jeremiah chapter 20, actually at the beginning of chapter 20, Jeremiah had been arrested by the priest's assistant. He was beaten. He was put in positions of great pain. He was locked up overnight because of his obedience to God. And so then how did he rise above that discouragement and continue on? Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning at verse 7. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. First thing he did, number one, be honest. Tell God how you feel. He's crying out to him right now. He felt like he was deceived by God. He felt like his life was a joke. He had this call that you're supposed to go and tell everyone to repent. The destruction's coming if not. And all he was doing was he was being mocked. No one was changing. So he was tired of it. Do we feel that way? We want people to know the gospel. We want people to have this life-changing hope. We want to see a difference. And they don't listen. And they don't seem to receive it well. And they have all these questions that They don't really want the answer. They just don't want to hear what we have to say anymore. And so what did he do? Well, he went straight to God. I appreciate how he did this. He didn't go to the local diner and tell people all of his problems. And he didn't get on Facebook and tell everyone how God had made him look bad. And he went straight to God. If we would take some advice there, just practical, in our relationship with God, in our relationship with others, and instead of going everywhere else, go directly to the source. It's actually a biblical concept. But if we instead go and vent our frustrations and our discouragement, then what are we going to do? Just going to make everyone else feel the same way. It's going to be discouraging to others. It's not going to be helpful. So Jeremiah went straight to the source. And you might wonder, well, is it okay to be angry with God? Anger is an emotion. Anger is a feeling, good or bad. We don't get to pick our feelings. Now, how we handle them, how we deal with our emotions, that's a different issue. And he did it the right way. But he didn't hold them in so it would build up and cause bitterness and really get the worst of them, or get the best of them, bring out the worst in them. But he was honest with God, and it led to more freedom and less discouragement. The second thing he did, what we need to do, is be obedient. Keep doing what you've been called to do. So Jeremiah had a specific calling. We, as disciples of Jesus, also have a specific calling. It might be the same as the person next to you, but it is specific. Go and make disciples of all nations. That is our calling. That's why we're here, to share the gospel. He didn't want to, though. Jeremiah was done. He wanted to go away. We read that back in chapter 8. He didn't even want to see all this because it was just too discouraging. And guess what? 12 chapters later, still the same. But he couldn't keep it in. The message was so strong within him. He knew how much of a difference it would make and how much it mattered and how he had to be obedient to his call. The same thing with us. Is it in us so much that the gospel makes such a difference that if I don't share it, then something's going to happen? It's going to be so bad, I can't not share it. That's where he was at. But he felt alone still. I just, you might think like, oh, someone's doing something with courage and bravery. It doesn't mean it's easy. Now, this was very hard for him. He felt alone. He felt that God was leading him into darkness. He felt that his friends were waiting for him to mess up. He didn't enjoy what he was doing. And if I don't enjoy what I'm doing, it doesn't bring happiness, then why would I do it? That's what he's thinking here. That's what he says. If he seems like it's so bad, then why is he living this way? We'll see. He was overwhelmed. We get that. And it wasn't just like, this is kind of bad. I'm having a tough day or a tough week. I'm just not feeling it right now. No, he was overwhelmed. You can see it in his wording. He said, all day long, everyone, all my friends, terror on every side. There's this fight within him that's so strong that he thinks the absolute worst in the situation. It couldn't get any worse. All these words are extreme words, not like, ah, it's kind of bad. No, it's the worst. That's how he feels. How can we get into this discouragement, or have these feelings and start to maybe move out of it a little bit? I think practically speaking, when I look at these words, I think first we need to recognize what is bad and what's not. We start to think, well, if my marriage is not going well, then my friends don't like me, and when I go to work, I'm in a bad mood, and nothing goes well, all because of one thing. And then you start to see issues all around you. See, he was thinking that everything was the worst because maybe one thing wasn't going well. That's the deception from the heart, and our feelings and our emotions can really tear us down. They can get a hold of us, and it's hard to get out of it. Everyone's against me. No, not everyone. It's the worst. No, it's not. God is deceiving me. No, he wasn't. But Jeremiah thought that. And then sometimes when we let our feelings get a hold of us, that is what's true. Even if it's not, if that's how we think, if that's how we feel, it's truth to us. That's gonna motivate us or take all the motivation away to move forward. Discouragement really does sneak up on us. I think a lot of people are discouraged in a lot of ways right now. some things are bad and some things are true and some things aren't that bad and some things aren't that true, but it's hard to know the difference. So what did he do? Verse 11, "But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked." Number three, be watchful. Know that the Lord is with you. Jeremiah recognized that he wasn't alone, and he started to realize, oh, God is next to me like a mighty warrior, someone who can make a difference, someone who can offer security. But our discouragement, we're not looking to God. We're looking in at our feelings. We're looking around at things it's just not fun. Our problems sometimes are much louder than our God, especially when we aren't listening. It's like I didn't think about this until just now. I remember this parable of the two wolves, and one is bitterness and anger, and the other is good feelings and peace. And which one wins? And it's the one that you feed. And if we go to these places of discouragement, if you're discouraged every time you get on social media, if you're discouraged every time you turn on the TV, turn on the news, if you're discouraged whenever you go and have a conversation with a certain group of people, maybe you have to consider what you're looking at, what you're putting into your mind. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk to certain people, but maybe there's times when we shouldn't, because it's really not helpful to us, and it's not going to be helpful to them either. See, Jeremiah had so much around him that was causing so much discouragement, and he finally looked up. He finally looked to God, who he made the commitment to, and he looked to the cause. It says, "For to you I have committed my cause." He knew what he was doing. And so then number four, be worshipful. Praise God with your whole heart. That's what led him to praise. Right before he says, "Sing to the Lord," he says, I have committed my cause to you. He stepped back and he remembered the big picture. The discouragement really isn't from things, I think, that we're going through that maybe happened 5 years ago or 20 years ago, but a lot of it's just what's going on right now. And it's discouraging, and it's like, well, nothing that we're doing matters, nothing that we do helps, we can't make a difference, so why try? I think that's where he was at. But then he praised God. And praise is one of those things that kind of, it fights discouragement. And Satan can't use it, because when you praise God, you're acknowledging that he's in full control, and that means Satan's not. Both during the good times and the bad. Even when we don't understand why things are happening the way they do, we want to explain it, but instead we just at times have to trust God with it. And Jeremiah finally seems to get this. Yeah, he was horribly discouraged. I mean, just reading that first part, he wanted to quit. He wanted to be done. He just wanted to walk away. All the way back in chapter 8, he wanted to go to a different place just to get away from every single person. The discouragement was very real. And then finally he gets it, and he says, I committed my cause to you. I decided. My heart broke for these people. Now what does he do? He praises God. And so he's got this shift in perspective. And so we're going to move forward now, trying to maybe be in a place that Jeremiah was. So you think, man, he's finally got it. And then listen to what he says next. Verse 14. "Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, 'A child is born to you, a son.' May that man be like the towns and the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the womb, with my mother as my grave, her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow, to end my days in shame?" We went to church on Sunday and got encouraged a little bit, and we worshiped. Now it's Monday. Now the discouragement sets back in. The problem that we had before we came to church and before we were refreshed, now that's gone now. That's Jeremiah right now. He praised God. He was ready. He acknowledged who he needed to acknowledge, and he moved forward the right way. And yeah, guess what? There's still going to be problems tomorrow. Discouragement's going to come back. He had made the decision. His heart broke. He wished. Now he wishes he was never born. That's the Christian life at times. It shouldn't be that way, but after broken trust, broken relationships, not feeling the love of the Christian community that we feel like we should feel, sometimes it just feels safer to hide out. I mean, I have enough problems on my own. I don't want to deal with everyone else's. So just go hide out. Don't deal with any of them. That's what he wanted to do. But like with Jeremiah, it's not a one-time decision. Yeah, we might need this reminder. We might need to go back and remember what our cause is. It might not get easier. It might be lonely. We have to decide, though, does the cause outweigh the challenges? Even after you finally think you're good, discouragement creeps back in. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, you have to deny yourselves daily. Take up your cross. Follow him. It's not a one-time decision. Come up and make your decision and confess that Jesus is Lord and be baptized, and then you're good. There's definitely a starting point. But Jesus says every day you have to deny yourself because you know there's something bigger. That's what we have to think about as we move forward. Maybe you feel discouraged. Now, how can you rise above it? I read this story about a SEAL, Admiral William McRaven, 36-year-old Navy SEAL veteran. He gave a commencement address to the University of Texas in Austin. And he titled his talk, 10 Lessons to Challenge the World. Here's just one. He said, every day during training, you are challenged with multiple physical events, long runs, long swims, obstacle courses, hours of calisthenics, something designed to test your mettle. Every event had standards, times you had to meet. If you failed to meet those, your name was posted on a list at the end of the day. Those who were on the list were invited to a circus. That sounds nice. A circus was 2 hours of additional calisthenics designed to wear you down, to break your spirit, to force you to quit. No one wanted a circus. A circus meant for that day that you didn't measure up. A circus meant more fatigue, and more fatigue meant the following day would be more difficult and more circuses were likely. But at some point, at some time during SEAL training, everyone made the circus list. But an interesting thing happened to those who were constantly on the list. Over time, those students who did 2 hours of extra calisthenics got stronger and stronger. The pain of the circuses built inner strength, built physical resiliency. Life is filled with circuses, he said. You will fail. You will likely fail often. It will be painful. It will be discouraging. At times, it will test you to the very core. But if you want to change the world, don't be afraid of the circuses. If you want to be a person that God uses, you have to go through that discouragement. Craig Groeschel said, his presence is real in your pain, and it might become more real in the valley than it was on the mountaintop if you recognize that the way is through, not out. If you want to be a person that God uses, you can't be afraid of the discouragement. It will happen. If you're trying to serve him, if you're trying to reach broken people, if you're trying to help people who are in need and hurting, it's going to hurt. It's going to be discouraging. You're going to think you're doing the right thing and not always get the result that you thought would happen. That's who God uses, though. Like Jeremiah, though, you have to remember the cause and do what you're meant to do and not focus on the problems. As we come into our time of communion, we're going to remember again that we do not worship God because things are going well. It's nice when they are. Maybe we sing a little louder. We don't worship God because we just love life so much. We should appreciate life. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. But we worship him because he loves us. And he showed us that through Jesus. Our cause, Jeremiah had the cause of sharing repentance. Our cause is the message, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that God loved us, that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, and that Jesus was raised to new life. And in that is offering us new life. That is our message. We worship him because he made a way to live forever and live with him. But it's hard. It really is. I read this powerful article titled Dying of Despair, and I think it's relevant, maybe to today. But this psychiatrist, Aaron Kearty, observes that the startling rise in deaths from suicide and drug overdoses. He points to a number of long-term studies that have analyzed the difference between high-risk patients who survive and those who die by suicide. Here's his conclusion of his research. He says, over a 10-year span, it turns out that the one factor most strongly predictive of suicide is not how sick the person is, nor how many symptoms he exhibits, nor how much physical pain he is suffering, nor whether he is rich or poor. The most dangerous factor is a person's sense of hopelessness. The man without hope is the likeliest candidate for suicide. We cannot live without hope. In a discouraging time for many, we have to share hope. For today's sake, for the present time, we have to share hope. But even more, for eternity's sake, for someone's eternal life, their soul, we have to share the life-changing hope of Jesus. That is our cause. That is why we're here, and that is why we're so grateful that God loved us and sent Jesus to offer us hope. And now our mission is to share Jesus and offer hope to the world. Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us in so many ways. When the world seems down and things are a little discouraging. We look back and realize that this is not new. This is not something that's happening in 2020 only. But things have been like this for a long time. And even with Jeremiah, to look around and to see how bad and to know what's coming. You have given us your word that can help us in every way if we would just read it. And so I thank you for everyone here today that would take the time to hear how they can be useful for you. And I pray for all of us that, that even as this series ends, that it's not just something that we think about now, but that we consider what you did for us and be willing to do that for others, that our hearts would be broken in some way so that we could be useful for you. Thank you so much for sending Jesus. And it's his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.